Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday, January 15th edition of the MMAOB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. UFC 246 press conference happening later today, guys. That's going to be fun, so get your popcorn ready for that. Conor McGregor and Don Cerrone going at it. A bunch of prop bets were released for this, which are pretty hilarious, actually. Some of them are pretty out there. You know, some of them seem a little bit more likely, I think, than others, but I'll pull some out here and you guys can kind of tell me what you're thinking here. But yeah, some of them are a little crazy, but that's going to be a good press conference. I mean, you know, I've said all week that I just don't feel like the buzz is there as much as it usually is for a McGregor fight. But I do feel like maybe it's picking up in the last few days, like maybe the last day or two, which is good, you know, obviously for the UFC, because they're looking forward to a really big event as far as pay-per-views go. Now, the ESPN Plus deal definitely kind of throws a wrench into, like, what a big number is for a pay-per-view. We don't really know, because ESPN doesn't release numbers. Dave Meltzer can't get the numbers. So, curious to see that. But anytime McGregor does a press conference, usually it helps the pay-per-view buzz. Okay, so let's look at some of these prop bets. And they're courtesy of BetOnline, who actually released quite a bit of odds these days. And Aaron Bronster had them on Twitter. Okay, so look at these ones. So some of these that I think are a little bit more likely than others. Like I said, how late will McGregor be? The press conference over under set at 6.5 minutes. I don't know about that. That one go either way. Total F-bomb said by McGregor at the press conference over under 6.5. You know, he hasn't really been swearing that much, but I think he'll probably do it a little bit. Will it be said by either fighter, yes or no? Yes, plus 150. Oh, yeah, give me that. Someone's going to ask him about Khabib. That's that one I think is worth it. Will McGregor call Cerrone's floor stiff? Yes, plus 150. No, minus 200. I don't know about that one. Will McGregor predict a KO finish over Cerrone? Yes, plus 200. He already has. He actually did an interview with Aaron yesterday, so I would do that one. McGregor be wearing chewing gum? Yes, plus 100. Will he be using chewing gum? Now we didn't even touch that one. Will McGregor hold a proper 12 bottle? No is plus 200. That one could be worth it because he said he's not drinking right now. He hasn't drank in 6 months. So I think that he probably won't be holding one. Then same with McGregor, say proper 12. You know, no plus 500 is possible. When McGregor wear a suit minus 200, that's easy money. He's going to be wearing a suit. He always does. I don't really understand why the odds are so low for that one. And again, I'm assuming the limits are like super low. Like I don't use BetOnline. I'm assuming it's like $25 limits or something like that. So. And turn it up MMA. He also told Aaron yesterday he's going to knock Cerrone out. So we'll see. I mean, this fight really could go either way. It's either going to be an early knocker or it goes late. Anyways, some of the other prop bets. Will McGregor wear sunglasses? Yes, is minus 400. I think there could be some value there too. Will Cerrone call McGregor McNugget? No, is plus 150 there. I'd rather go with that one. I don't think he'll call him that. Will Cerrone hold a Budweiser can bottle? Minus 200. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Will Cerrone wear a cowboy hat? Minus 2,500 for yes. I mean, that's easy money, but it's you can't bet on that minus 2,500. You're going to win a quarter if you put down $25 or something like that? Anyways, well, either McGregor or Cerrone throw an object. No is minus 1,000. That one probably does cash as well, but again, the odds are stupid on that. And then will Cerrone and McGregor come into physical contact? What does that even mean? Like, does that mean they shove each other? Does that mean if they, like, you know, give each other a handshake? I don't know. So I don't really know, but yeah, I'd say yes, and that's minus 150. And then will McGregor reference a Cerrone family member? Yes is plus 300. And you know what? That one could cash too because he has talked about Cerrone's like love for his grandparents and stuff like that. Turn it up at me. What site do you use that gives out early prop odds? Okay, so this one, the ones I'm talking about right now, they're just for fun. They're at BetOnline, which I don't use, like I said. They're just for the press conference today, so they're going to go away after today. But if you want, throw some money down while you're watching the press conference. I mean, why not? As far as, like, early prop bets go, I mean, Five Dimes is a pretty good betting website. I don't know if people use it as much as maybe they used to a few years ago. I think there's a lot of options these days, but there's definitely some good props there. I'm assuming you know what Best Fight Odds, which is a great website, great resource. Just go there, and you can click on the right-hand part. It says props. Click down on the drop-down menu there. And it shows you all the props at all the sports books. And again, it's usually Five Dimes / Sports Bet that has the majority of the prop bets. But there are other books like William Hill has some prop bets and Sports Interaction as well. So definitely take a look at that, man. I'm talking to Turn Up MMA in the chat. I use Bovada. I think Bovada, like, I used to use Bovada years ago. I think they had some prop bets. Maybe not as like complicated as some of these ones are. Sophisticated, I should say. So yeah, I would try a five dimes out if you want. Yeah, no worries, man. Anyways, let's get into the news. Okay, so Cerrone, he's going to be fighting McGregor, obviously. And he says he's not injured. So there's an embedded video that came out, and Cerrone's like limping around or something. And there was speculation out there that Donald could be injured, but he says he's not. He says he's fine. He's not injured at all. And he said he kicked a pad funny. That's why it looked like he was limping. So there is something to that. But he says he's not pulling out the fight. So the fight's going to happen. Crossing my fingers here. I saw a stat on Twitter the other day. Cerrone and McGregor have never pulled out of fights, either guy, which is amazing. You know, they've been in so many fights, especially Cerrone. My God, the amount of fights he's been in, you know. But apparently they've never pulled out due to injury. So I don't see that happening. I mean, if it does, it destroys the card, obviously. You try to get Justin Gaethje in on 24 hours notice if you have to. But I think Cerrone's going to show up. He always shows up to work, and I think he will. So the good thing is he did deny being injured, which is great news, obviously. But, you know, unfortunately, he did suffer a bit of a limp from kicking a pad wrong, which could happen, obviously, if you kick it in the wrong way. So glad he's okay. Says he's okay. We'll have to believe him, guys. But, you know, just hope he makes it through the fight. But, you know, the one thing I will say, you know, if he is hurt, obviously it will hinder his ability to move. And that's what something he needs to do in this fight, because he cannot stay in the same place. McGregor will pick him apart and will knock him out if he just stands there. Cerrone is pretty good at moving around. But, you know, if he's hurt, it could hurt him there. McGregor also, once again, you know, talking about Floyd Mayweather the rematch. Dana White says he doesn't want to do it. Dana White also did an interview yesterday with Matt Califf. He said he's not interested in the Floyd Mayweather rematch. So we'll see what happens there. I'm not interested in it. I mean, the first one was a blowout, but I can see why Conor is, because he made a ton of money from it. You know, I'm not saying I'm interested in this fight, guys, but like, the Pacquiao rematch, the Pacquiao fight versus McGregor could be somewhat like interesting. Like, I'm not saying Conor win that fight either. He probably would get knocked out again, but I think that fight would be a little bit more likely than a Mayweather rematch. You know, we'll see. I have a feeling they're just going to do Pacquiao and Mayweather too. Like that fight seems to make more sense than anything. Maybe Dana White could sign them and get them to fight in Super Box. We've got this guy Phil Kappa use five rounds. Yeah, a lot of people do, man. It's a really good betting website for sure. Sometimes I will say this though, but five rounds, they can make it a pain in the ass to get your money out sometimes. I will say that. But you know, as far as the prop betting and the amount of odds they have and the sports they cover, like, it is one of the better websites. Just if you win a lot of money, sometimes they don't want to give it to you. They just, you know, it can be hard to get out, but you know, it is a good website for sure. And used to be our sponsor here at MMA Oddsbreaker for like, I think 5 or 6 years they were sponsoring us. Now, of course, we are sponsored by BetDSI, which is another good website. They don't have as sophisticated props as maybe Five Rounds does, but they are a good website too. BetDSI, I forgot to mention them earlier, but they are a pretty good website as well, for sure. And they have good odds, like money line odds and stuff. So definitely check them out as well. Let's see here. Ryan Bader, that's the next piece of news I want to talk about here. He's going to defend his Bellator light heavyweight title in April. No opponent named, no date or venue, but April is when he's coming back, which makes sense because Scott Coker said recently he wants Bader to fight at 205 in his next fight, and he wants him to fight at least three times this year, if not four times, according to Scott Coker. If he fights in April, it probably puts him on track to fight, you know, two or three times. I don't think three. I think three or four is a little crazy by Coker, but, you know, April, and then you could do, like, let's say, you know, July or August, and then November, December, so three times, but injuries, obviously, and just the state of the division. But, you know, looking at the division, there's only a few guys that really make sense. There's this guy, Vadim Nemkov, and I think he'd be the guy that would probably get the title shot if it's going to be a Bellator guy, because this guy's awesome. You know, 11-2 record, only 27, too. He's actually a very good fighter. He's on a 6-fight win streak. He beats Rafael Carvalho, Phil Davis, Liam McGeary. Like, those are some pretty solid wins. Also, Philippe Lins, Goran Relic early in his career. His two losses to Yuri Prozhatska and Carl Albrechtsen. So he's got a couple losses, but he's had a 6-straight win streak, and 5 of those wins are by stoppage. So this guy's dangerous. He probably just gets the title shot if it's going to be a Bellator guy. But if they want, and it's the fight I'd like to see, Yuri Prozhatska against Ryan Bader. That's the fight I want to see, guys. That's a good fight. You know, Prozhatska just beats CB Dolloway, who is Ryan Bader's training partner. I don't even know why they made that fight. I mean, that fight was a blowout. Like, that whole card was full of blowouts, but That was on the Ryzen card. So that car was actually really competitive, but the Bellator car was full of blowouts. But either way, there was talk that Prochazka could fight Bader. Instead, they gave the shot to Dalloway for some reason. I think the fight makes even more sense now. It's got the revenge factor and stuff. So that's the fight. I'd like to see Bader versus Prochazka, for the Bellator title. And if Bader wins, maybe he could fight Ryzen later this year, try to get that Ryzen belt too. But either way, it's going to be at 205, which is good news. And I also saw that Paul Daly will be fighting too. So there was some speculation he could be released after he was just fired as Bellator commentator. He's not being released. He's going to be fighting at Bellator again very soon. So that's good news for them because he is a good fighter, one of their better welterweights. Also, Dana White talked about Darren Till in that interview with the MacLife I just referenced a few minutes ago. And he was asked, who is Darren going to fight? Because it seems likely that Darren's going to fight UFC 248 or UFC London. That's according to Dana. He says they don't have an opponent for him yet, but he says he's going to fight one of the big guys. And they asked him, he's going to fight Jack Hermanson. Dana said no. He said he's going to fight someone ranked really high. But I was looking at the rankings. The only guy that makes sense who's ranked higher is Israel Adesanya. I don't think you can give Darren Till the title shot yet. I don't think he's ready for that at this point after one win against Gaslam. Because if you look at the rankings, you got Adesanya as the champ, and then you got number one Whitaker, who's fighting number four Cannonier on the same card. Number two, Costas hurt. And number three, Romero's supposed to fight Adesanya. So unless they're just going to give Till the title shot against Adesanya, I don't know who else he can fight. Because if you look down, it's like you got Gaslam. You could do a rematch, but I don't think anyone wants to see that. Hermanson is one below Till. So that fight does make sense. And then you also have Brunson and Shabazian and Hall rounding out the top 10. But I don't know. Maybe Dana's lying. Maybe it is Hermanson. Maybe he just didn't want to tip his hat. But looking at the rankings, I mean, unless you're doing Till versus Romero or Adesanya, there's no one else available that's ranked higher than Hermanson. So I don't know. That was kind of a strange comment by Dana because, you know, just looking at the rankings, like, there's no one else available. Anyways, there's a couple of fight announcements to get through today. I love this fight, guys. This is a fun fight. Kevin Lee against Charles Oliveira. This is going to headline UFC Brasilia. So we've been waiting for a main event for this card. Now we got it. So Kevin Lee, he's coming off a just amazing win over Gregor Gillespie. And when I was talking about the knockouts of the year during the year-end recap podcast with Cole a few weeks ago, this is a knockout I completely forgot because there was a lot of like really good knockouts last year. This is one I forgot. I mean, this was an insane knockout. Gregor Gillespie went flying against the cage, went stiff against the fence. It was a brutal KO. So, you know, Kevin Lee is a very dangerous fighter right now. His welterweight run only lasted one fight, didn't go too well, at least in the RDA. But, you know, at lightweight, he is one of the better guys in the world. He's got some good wins there, Gillespie, Barboza, Chiesa. So he's a very dangerous guy. And it'll be interesting when he faces Oliveira because man, Oliveira's good. And here's the thing about Kevin Lee. He's been submitted twice in his career. So against Oliveira, I mean, that's going to – he's going to have to watch out for that because Oliveira is just ridiculously dangerous on the ground. And he deserves this main event. I'm really happy to see this main event from DuBronx. Man, he's good. And 28-8-1 no contest record. And he has the most submission wins in the UFC in history with 13 submission wins, more than Royce Gracie, more than Damian Maia. So he's amazing on the ground. And you know what? His stand-ups improved too, guys, which is like what's really surprising about Oliveira. Like, I always thought he was a great fighter. Don't get me wrong. But the stand-up was never really there. It was always the ground game. He was like a Damian Maia like for the lighter divisions. But now he's rounded out his game. His last two wins, knockouts over Jared Gordon, Nick Lentz. And those are two pretty tough dudes. So those are good knockouts. And then obviously all the submissions. He has a six-fight win streak in the submissions. David Tamer, Jim Miller, Christos Gagos, Clay Guida. Honestly, I feel like he was going backwards for a little while with the opponents he was fighting. But there's no doubt Kevin Lee is the step up in competition. And, you know, it's been a while since Oliveira's had a main event slot. The last one I remember was, yeah, against Holloway back in 2015 where he had that, like, weird neck injury or whatever. I don't even know what happened in that fight, but he got finished pretty early. And, you know, he's been inconsistent a little bit in his career. Like, and he used to get knocked out quite a bit. But, you know, lately he's looked really good. And his durability seems to improve at lightweight. This is an interesting fight, guys. I don't know. Like, let me know what you're thinking about it. I think Kevin Lee probably will be favored just because he has looked so good. Well, both guys have looked good lately. But the win over Gillespie was on a big card. And I think it's just remind people really how good Kevin Lee can be at times. But Oliveira is super dangerous. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he does win this fight. So be careful about this one. You're going to bet on Kevin Lee because Kevin Lee can be submitted and Oliveira has some of the best submissions in the books. Got some more commentary. Eddie D. Yo, Cerrone's right leg is obviously compromised. UFC embedded cameraman editing team seemed to want to make it known a lot in the second embedded video. Yeah, Listen, man, I agree with you. I it does look like it. And he did talk about this yesterday. There's a clip at MMA Junkie. I got the article at BJ Penn if you want to read it. His actually, I'll read the quote just because we're talking about it right now. Maybe we'll pull the quote out. It was just a small quote. It wasn't anything crazy here. Where is it? Cerrone denied injury speculation. It's over at BJ Penn. He says, I knew what that was going to come up. People are good. Put a little limp. What if I was walking with a draw? Or maybe I stepped on a Lego. I got a kid now. No, I'm good. No, I'm fine. I just kicked the pad funny. It was just a funny nothing, you know. So, I mean, we'll see what happens, guys. Like, he says he's okay, but how do you believe a fighter anyways? And you know what? Even if he was hurt, bro, he's going to fight because he wants that payday, and I don't blame him. Other fight announcement here, Arnold Allen against Nick Lentz. So both these guys lost their opponents. Arnold Allen was supposed to fight Josh Emmett, and Nick Lentz was supposed to fight Nadner Money. They both lost their opponents. Now they're going to fight each other. Arnold Allen, only 25. He's still really young. 15-1 is great. He's 6-0 in the UFC. He is like a sleeper at 145, a very good fighter. No one talks about him as a contender because he really hasn't been very active. Fights once a year. Well, twice last year, but once in 2018, once in 2017, once in 2016, once in 2015. So it'd be good to see Arnold Allen get back on a consistent schedule because Almighty is a very good fighter. He is coming off a win over Gilbert Melendez, a really dominant win there. And he'll be taking on Nick Lentz, who is like one of the ultimate grinders in UFC history, just a guy that's he's tough to beat. I mean, he is. Record 30-10-2-1 O'Connor. It's a crazy record. He's coming off a loss by TKO to Charles Oliveira, but before that, I beat Scott Holtzman and Gray Maynard pretty dominantly. So, you know, Nick Lentz is a very, just a gritty guy. You know, he's a tough fighter to beat. He's going to make life a living hell for Arnold Allen in this fight. The only thing I don't like about Lentz in this one is the fact that it's at 145. I don't know why he dropped back down. Like, he had some success at lightweight. At lightweight, he went 5-3, which is decent, you know, and he's fighting pretty good competition. So don't know really why he's dropping back down featherweight. He had a lot of issues making weight there in the past. So, you know, his last stint at lightweight was a lot better. I think he would have been better off staying at lightweight, but he'll be fighting this one at featherweight. And again, I think that's going to compromise him, especially because Allen, you know what, he can finish people. And I think he probably does end up getting Nick Lentz here. So that should be interesting either way. But I just don't like the fact he's taking a short notice. I'm going to see if I got any other news to talk about here, guys. But I should mention myself and Cole Sheldon, we did the full breakdown for UFC 246 yesterday on this very podcast. Definitely go and check that out. It was fun to do with Cole. Get the year started right. You know, the card's not – it's not the best pay-per-view you've ever seen, guys. It's a top-heavy card, obviously. But there are some good fights, especially in the prelims. There's some really good prospects. I think the card placement is the biggest issue for me. Like, a guy like Sody Youssef should be fighting on the main card, you know. Why is Alexei Oleinik on the card, main card? Like, you're not promoting that guy, so what's the point, you know? Either way, should be an okay card. So, looking forward to that. And again, the press conference tonight, that should be good too. All right, guys, that's going to be it for today's podcast. I'll be back tomorrow, as always. And you guys can check me out on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. And I'm available at MMAOddsBreaker.com, BJPenn.com, and MMAratings.net, where I got an article on Conor McGregor and why I feel like there's not as much buzz for this fight as there usually seems to be for a McGregor fight. Guys, thanks again for tuning in to the podcast. I'll be back tomorrow morning. Have a good one. Bye.